all things, our heartache, our troubles, our joys, whatever. When he's talking about we need to carry our own load, that's our job. You have a job. God has given you talents. God has given you opportunities. And that verb used in that thing would mean you need to do your job. And so it really does not conflict.
It doesn't exempt you from responsibility to do your job. And going back to what Harold was talking about, you know, that really is, when we think about this concept that we're one body, you know, nobody goes and starts throwing rocks at their foot because their foot tripped over a stump. I mean, that you just don't do that. You don't start punishing one piece of your body because it didn't perform well. You know, rather, you carry it until it gets healed up from hitting the stump, and then once it's back healthy again, you know, the rest of your body compensates normally. I mean, if you ever had an injury, you know that after a while, the rest of your muscles start compensating when you have one that has a problem. And so, you know, very similarly, that's the real model here, is not that you start, you know, punishing one part of your body because it's imperfect. Rather, you got to be the one who picks it up and supports it and carries it and takes care of it, and hopefully it'll come back stronger and healthier.
And we have to remember, too, if we are that part of the body that is being weak, we affect everybody else.
This concept of this body thing has always intrigued me, and I think it's just a amazing concept that we could just get that in our head, that we're all, that it takes everyone.
Yeah.
You know. And sometimes parts of your body just don't work. They just, you know, there's times they don't work like they should.
You know 20 something years ago, or 20 years ago, or however long, I broke a foot at a prep. They went in, they put it back together, and put rods in it, and wires, and all this and that, put it back together. And everything was okay. Well, I don't know, 4 or 5 years after that, a big calcium deposit developed on me and caused it to hurt. And I would compensate by trying to walk where it didn't hurt. But that messed up my knee. and that's what I'm saying. We need to, as you say, look at it, at us, me, you, as part of this body.
That's another good concept, though. If we got a part that's hurting and we just sort of compensate for it, pretty soon something else is going to be hurting.
Exactly.
Something else is not working right. So,
I think one of the biggest takeaways, well, like that's Harold's point, I think playing can speck in the eye. But aside from that, I think that one of our lessons that we need to learn here is that when we are the weak one, we are that one that's struggling, ask for help. I mean, realize that, I mean, we should be spiritual enough to ask for help and not put the burden on the Jean's point of making her feel responsible to come help. We should be able to say, you know, at least just go to one or two people and say, hey, pray for me on this. And I think that's, we're afraid to admit our weaknesses, and which could lead to bigger problems.
And that ties into the humility. I need to be humble enough to know. When I need help, I need to ask. We don't want to admit it, or I don't. Anyway, you know, this is kind of a short chapter compared to a lot of the others. But there is so much in it as far as self-examination, Dennis?
Yeah, Danny, there's one thing that seems pretty important to me. You know, I've seen times where I got the idea that somebody that I've seen correcting another person was not correcting them to because they cared so much for them as it was as they wanted to make sure they can say, I've done what I was supposed to do. So it's so important that we're not going so that we can say we did what we're supposed to. We're going because we care for that person. We love that person. And so I just think that's important.
Paul talks about this in the circumcision, bill. The way it appears, a lot of them saying, I'm going to make you be circumcised because that makes me feel. Not for your sake, but that's my sake. Okay, well, someone read the last part of the chapter. Starting in verse 11.
See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about their pure flesh.
And that's what we just talked about there.
May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified. The world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit, Lord. Amen.
I think a whole lot of what Paul is trying to teach us here, it's not about me. It's about the family. It's about the body. And as Will said earlier, we don't need to ignore a thing. We don't need to ignore something or walk away from it, but be willing to share, be willing to bear one another's burdens. I don't know, in some of the reading I've done, study on this, we're talking about something wrong, you don't just amputate. I don't know, I've been over the years in a few congregations where someone was withdrawn from. And we talk about it, or the Bible talks about why and when and such as that. But yet at the same time, I've never seen a positive outcome. Danny, have you been placed before?
Yeah. I agree that it's it wasn't a positive thing for the person being targeted or whatever, but it wasn't a positive for the congregation either. It's wrong. It's sort of one of those deals where probably not enough time and effort was put into the actual trying to respond to this person's needs. Whether it was generally, when there's something going on, there's something in the background that's the cause.
Yeah.
you know, and sometimes we don't. We just look at the maybe the sin, and we don't look at the underlying cause of it, or what, you know, what's going on in that person's life. And so it's sort of knee-jerk kind of reaction sometimes when we do things like that. And thankfully, I don't think it happens that often, but not in that letter, but the law or whatever we might study, but it happens too often in spirit. We withdraw from people that we don't agree with or whatever.
You know, it's in all this. Does Paul differentiate between one sin and another? And you know, I have
that. They're having an affair. They're doing this. They're doing that.
Paul didn't differentiate. Christ did not differentiate between one sin and another. If it's sin that leads you away from Christ. And that's what, you know, we're talking about and bearing each other's burdens and all of this and that. If it's leading that person away from Christ. But he said, be careful so that you don't be led away also.
I like to go back to, you know, when we talked about in chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. We're going to have these things in our life.
Right.
And, you know, it's all about love, basically. I mean, if we have, like, we have those in our life, we're not going to be so judgmental, we're not going to be so legalistic. We're going to recognize that we have the same problems in our lives, but by the grace of God, we, by His Spirit, we can enjoy these.
Yep.
Things kind of,
Verse 14 out there, and I've had to read it twice now to really let it soak in what it's saying here. Far be it from me to boast except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I mean, it's a hard way of, and it's, I don't think it was word choice was the greatest there, but basically it's, you got to die to the world. You're living by the Spirit, that's the whole guidance.
Second Corinthians 10 has a verse and it just kind of fits in here. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Yeah. I mean, I can always pick out somebody that I think I'm better than.
But that's worldly.
That's worldly. That's private.
Yeah.
And it's inaccurate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, A, you don't know. Who knows the heart of man except God himself, A. And B, it means you're suffering the same sinful nature as that person. You know, like you were saying earlier, we like to differentiate between obvious seen sins and unseen sins.
Right.
Right. You know, we don't want to talk about harboring a grudge. We don't want to talk about having hate in your heart. We don't want to talk about, you know, lust. We don't want to talk about, you know, the white lie that no one ever found out about or is going to ever find out about. We don't want to talk about any of that because those are unseen, hidden sins that only we know about. It's a lot easier to talk about the obvious, you know, public sins. I mean, we're all about talking about those, which is what I think he's getting at here, and that is, if you start comparing yourself to someone else, you're doing it in ignorance, because you don't know what's going on inside that person's spirit, and second of all, you're just being blind to your own sins.